A few years ago, the TV series Third Rock from the Sun came spinning into America's living rooms. The sitcom told the story of four aliens from another galaxy on a mission to investigate planet Earth. Their leader, Dick Solomon, hid his true identity by posing as a college professor in a small Ohio town.
Let's taste danger. Let's go for the gusto. Consequences be damned. Let's drive fast and eat cheese.
Our latest installment of Intersections, our series on artists and their inspirations, comes in this week leading up to Father's Day. Actor John Lithgow spoke with NPR's Noah Adams.
The actor John Lithgow is classically trained and classically inspired by his childhood. He says his father led the family in a whimsical, theatrical life.
My dad swung back and forth between teaching and producing classical repertory theater in the most unlikely places. And my family was like a gypsy wagon following him around. I guess it just sort of left me open to creative thought.
Your mother, Sarah Jane Price, also an actor?
She started out acting, but then very much became the sort of handmaiden to my dad's various flights of fancy.
Mm-hmm.
She's the one who got us all housed and moved all the time. Growing up, I lived in about 10 different places.
This past March, John Lithgow's father died of heart failure. He was 88 years old. The newspaper in Yellow Springs, Ohio, ran a photograph of a young Arthur Lithgow with the obituary. At a glance, you would think it was John. John Lithgow's dad actually was a college professor in a small Ohio town. He taught at Antioch College in Yellow Springs and created there a Shakespeare festival outdoors on the Antioch campus. Imagine, it's 1953. Arthur Lithgow is on stage acting in Julius Caesar. His son John recalls being 8 years old and watching from his seat on the scaffolding out in the dark. But now he is suddenly surprised to learn that we've found an archival tape from one of those performances.
Oh, my God. This may be the first time I've ever heard this.
In this tape recording, half a century old, you can hear the crickets and the tree frogs, and Arthur Lithgow in his role as Brutus. He speaks of Caesar's corpse and Mark Antony.
Let me depart alone. For my sake, stay here with Antony. Do grace to Caesar's corpse. Grace his speech, tending to Caesar's glories, which Mark Antony, by our permission, is allowed to make. I do beseech you, not a man depart, save I alone, till Antony have spoken.
You've really ambushed me. It's incredibly moving to hear him speak. He would have been younger than I am now, by a long shot.
Sure. He had a great deal of... That's a thoroughly professional voice. He had a great deal of projection.
Oh, it's a beautiful voice. It's a beautiful voice. As I grew older and became a tearaway son, he always sounded very sort of stagey and 19th century to me.
Hmm.
But you hear just how, I mean, that really sounds like wonderful acting to me. I mean, that's my dad.
Shakespeare, of course, has roles for children, and John Lithgow's first stage credits are from the Antioch festivals. But in terms of what are you going to do when you grow up, it was not to be acting, but art. Lithgow says when he went away to Harvard, he was consumed by the idea of being a visual artist.
And then I made a fatal misstep. When I got to college, I started acting in plays and hearing all that laughter and applause, and painting just didn't have a chance.
A Fulbright scholarship took Lithgow to the London Academy of Music and Dramatic Art, and then it was New York for the almost requisite 2 years of auditions and callbacks and no jobs, although he did some part-time satirical acting on WBAI radio. His father, John Lithgow says, had never really encouraged him to be an actor.
Maybe he was unconsciously saying, this is a tough business, get ready for it. Only do it if you really desperately want it. Of course, I did. And so he ultimately encouraged me and was incredibly proud that I was able to succeed at it.
At the end of the 2 years in New York, a Tony Award, after only 3 weeks in the role of a British rugby player in the changing room. John Lithgow was in several movies before his big one. He played Roberta Muldoon in The World According to Garp. Muldoon is a 6'4" transsexual who becomes a friend of T.S. Garp, played by Robin Williams.
Pardon me. I hate to use a corny line like this, but haven't I seen you before?
You like football?
Oh, yeah, I used to watch it quite a bit.
Well, you might have seen me. I was a tight end with the Philadelphia Eagles. Number 90, Robert Muldoon.
Oh, yeah.
I had a great pair of hands.
Yes, you did.
That was the single funniest scene as Roberta Muldoon, and it was the very first one. It's like we got all the laughter out of the way, and then bit by bit, you know, two scenes later, I was doing a scene where I was sobbing because I couldn't have children.
John Lithgow was nominated for an Academy Award for that performance. That was 1982. He's continued to act in movies and the theater. He's done very little Shakespeare, but says King Lear may indeed be in his future. Also, he's written music for children and picture books. And centered in those endeavors is his belief that there's nothing creative about just sitting around. That's his advice for actors starting out.
What I always tell young people is, forget about the job if you possibly can, and try to invent something that's all yours. Write something, produce something, direct something, do something that you're in control of. Focus on some project that's all yours. I promise you, you will never get a chance to complete this because somebody will hire you to act. But meantime, you haven't been waiting around for it. You've had something keeping you going.
Writer, actor, director John Lithgow speaking with us from New York. Noah Adams, NPR News.
You can hear an excerpt of John Lithgow in the radio production of M. Butterfly at npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.